Hey, do you want to do a Never Gonna Pro podcast soon?
It depends on whether we have to count on Gorney or not. Or just like an AI version of Chris Gorney that shows up on time.
Well, the version would be late. He would have mic issues. He would have Delta headphones, terrible audio quality, kid in the background pulling his curtains down.
Welcome to the Virtual Velo Podcast, powered by the Zamunique. We are exercise and physical therapists, performance coaches, and live stream broadcast pioneers. But most of all, we are passionate about cycling and immersed in the virtual cycling community. Our goal is to inform, inspire, and challenge you. Take a conversational ride with us. And today, we have Coach Joy Murphy and Coach Shane Gaffney with us, both guests that have been on many times before. As a matter of fact, Joy is one of our co-hosts, and Shane was co-host on another podcast we did called Never Going Pro. How are you both doing today?
Good, thank you.
Good.
Fantastic.
That's awesome. Now, I understand, Joy, that you have a time limit, so you're going to be hanging out with us for about 20 minutes. So if Joy That's disappears, correct. Don't worry, like she's safe, but she's got her own business and a kid and a life and everything else that may be taking her away. So today we're meeting to talk about artificial intelligence and cycling coaching. And what made me think about this is, of course, like ChatGPT is all the buzz and on the internet right now, but also I have been using Trainer Road and their AI FTP detection and their machine learning algorithms to adjust my workout program as I go along. And maybe I'm doing really well at sweet spot workouts and it'll feed me harder ones next time where I'm struggling with VO2 max workouts. It's making them easier. And Shane, I know you have experience being a product manager for a major platform, and you know quite a bit about this stuff even beforehand. Tell us a little bit about what you know and what your thoughts are on the state of artificial intelligence in coaching.
Yeah, I'm actually really excited about artificial intelligence. I think in general, there's obviously a lot of doom preppers, I guess, doomsayers, whatever the word I'm trying to think for here, be like, oh, it's going to ruin the world, it's going to take over, we're going to have like the Terminator effect in 2 years or something from now, right? Once we get to that singularity, what they always keep calling it.
Yeah.
So like true artificial intelligence, we're obviously not there yet. Like there's no AI that's actually thinking for itself. They're basically taking a bunch of data that they processed and then regurgitating it. And ChatGPT especially is really interesting because they're using it very similar to the third. I think it's 3.5 is what they called it. And all they did to go to 3 to 3.5 was change and make the output a lot more like what humans would say conversationally. So
yeah. It's
not like it's any smarter. They've just changed the output to make it readable and make more legible for us. So in terms of that, I think AI is still a little bit away. But in terms of adaptive training, I think Trainer Road has it really well, where based on whether they're using CTL or using other metrics, I'm not quite sure 100% what's under the hood.
And tell us CTL, like I know what it means, but yeah, in case anybody else doesn't know what it means.
CTL is, so let me start over. There's something called the PMC or the Performance Management Chart, which is actually based off of Bannister's TRIMPS system, TRIMPS. So if you want to Google that, go down the rabbit hole. That might be interesting. It's basically training impact. That's what TRIMP stands for. So CTL is chronic training load. ATL is acute training load. And TSB is training stress balance. So all these come up with one metric. And CTL is also another word for fitness. Some people say TSB is form and ATL is also strain or stress.
And CTL meaning chronic training load.
Chronic training load. Yes. CTL. Okay. Is that correct?
I told you I knew what it meant.
Training stress balance, ATL acute, and CTL chronic. Exactly.
Got it.
So as far as I know, most of these really adaptive training, they use that ATL that PMC chart, and they take those numbers, and then if you were, say, you're negative 30 for TSB, you might need a recovery day or an easier day. But if you're positive 20, you could probably go and hammer it because you're probably going to be fresher than most. I do believe they also take into account what your proximity to your event is. Like Train Road will have you put in an event and train for the event itself. So based on what they know for the event, they might get more specific to what the training you're doing as you get closer to the event, which is what a coach would do as well. And obviously availability of the athletes, all these things really make up a productive and I would think a really good training program. And they're able to use it by user input, feeding it into an algorithm, and then the algorithm will spit out your training itself. So I'm excited about that prospect of that software getting more intelligent, that software getting better, and that software being able to really fine tune and give the athlete the best training for them to do on that day. I think that's like the, everybody's going for that is like, what do I need to do today to make me better tomorrow? I think that's what everybody is really like striving to do. And that's a really, really hard question to answer unless you're a human with access to all the data on athletes.
Sure.
Yeah. So that's a very long-winded answer to that very general question.
No, it's good. And I want to hear Coach Joy's take on things as well.
Well, I love technology. You know, I started out as a triathlete, which, you know, triathletes love technology, but I am not necessarily a fan of it, of relying on it too much and going too far in that direction, because I feel like it really takes away from people listening to their own bodies and ignoring just some of the obvious things of what their body is telling them, because I know personally with me, my HRV can be in the hole, but I feel great. Mm-hmm. And then there's times where my HRV is green and Garmin's like, you're ready to go. And I'm like, no, I'm not. I'm really not. I feel like crap and I just can't today. So I'm just a huge proponent to really learning how to listen to your body and making some common sense decisions with training based on how you feel.
Mm-hmm. And you're training a group of triathletes now?
I coach a little bit of everybody. I coach triathletes, runners, cyclists, people just wanting to lose weight, doing strength training, mm-hmm. everything across the board. But I would say more beginners than elites.
Sure. Okay. And so how do you help? Could you see any of these tools being like part of the repertoire that you're using with the athletes that you have to help drive them forward in their progress? Like, I guess one thing I want to get to with both of you is neither of you has expressed concern about losing all of your clients to the robots just yet.
No, there's some people that are just not. I mean, I have a really probably a mix of athletes that care about the data and like to see. I do progress reports every month where I send athletes some of their charts and data from Training Peaks because they may not have the premium, so they don't see the charts that I see, so they can see that. Some of them love it and like seeing the data. Some of them don't care. Some of them do want to have just tell me what to do. Now, granted, Trainer Road and some of these things are getting to that point to where it's just they're going to tell you what to do. But I think having that human interaction to make sense of things and when things come up in life, because our life is not black and white. And so let's say I get sick or my kids get sick or something happens and it's just not black and white. Sometimes things mm-hmm. have to be completely rearranged. And I don't know that a computer can take your life and how you feel and your actual stress and arrange a schedule and say, this is what you should do. Because there's sure. so many different common sense things, and there's so many it depends things that go into coaching that sometimes are just communicating between me and the athlete. Like, so what kind of stress are you under? What's going on this week? You know, weather and all these different things. Can you go outside? Do you need to stay inside? There's so many factors that a computer is not going to know and take into account.
Right. It only knows the variables that are put into the system. Okay.
Have you liked using TrainerRoad so far, Ken?
Yes, I like it significantly more than I used to. Mm-hmm. Just to give a little background, in the past, I could not stick with their programs. They were too hard. And of course, like, I listened to their podcast a lot as well. And maybe if I had been listening to what they were saying a long time ago, it would have been better. But like, I really do struggle with the VO2 max workouts. And to the point where I'm like, that sucked. Like, I finished it, but just thinking that I'm going to have to do something like that again in a week is awful. And there is a subjective score that you enter in at the end of each workout, which tuned me down on my VO2 max workouts. So like, the following week was easier, not harder. And I thought that that was really helpful. Whereas like, I haven't struggled with the endurance stuff or the sweet spot stuff at all.
How did they make it easier? Did they reduce the wattage, or did they make the duration shorter, or both?
The first thing that I looked at was the overall TSS of the ride. So like the, or maybe it was the, not the TSS. It was the
and clarify, TSS is training stress score.
Training stress score, and what goes kind of hand in hand with that is the intensity factor. So the IF, the intensity factor of the ride, was just a little bit lower the following week. And then when I looked at it, it was very slightly different. Maybe there was one less interval overall, or the intervals were 10 watts easier, or instead of like 1 minute, they were 45 seconds. Or I mean, they have so many workouts that are similar that they can scale up and down in these tiny little increments based on what it thinks that you need. Now, the core of the plan, if you were to go enter a plan now versus enter a plan a year and a half ago before they had adaptive training, the plan on day one looks exactly the same as it used to. And it just sort of changes up and down as you go through it and enter these like subjective scores or miss workouts, et cetera.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Because that's the one, I think the one shortcoming I still see with all these applications is the inability to separate FTP from everything else. Mm. Like, you know, if you're doing a VO2 max interval, you should ideally be training at your VO2 max power. Problem is, there's no way. Actually, that's not true. I think the system actually does this. At least I remember from like a year ago, where you would take this thing called the full frontal test. They have such silly names. I love them. Mm-hmm. And you would do, you know, like a really short duration test, a mid duration test, and then a long duration test. And from that, they were able to glean your FRC or your PMAX or your VO2 max or your FTP, all these things. And then they would actually be able to customize the intervals based off of those thresholds, which is what I do. And I think most coaches do, is they use like WKO is a great example, where WKO will give me, based on this athlete, if they want to increase their max aerobic power, they should be doing, you know, some athletes do 2 minutes, some athletes might do 5 minutes, depending on capacity. Some athletes might do 105% FTP, some athletes might do 115% FTP. Mm-hmm. And I think that like super threshold body and that super threshold area is still really, really not, it's really not well done yet in most of these applications I've seen, right, at least.
Yeah. And Joy, as far as like you talking to your athletes on a daily basis, like, are you meeting them mostly in person or are they mostly virtual?
No, it's just texting, emailing, whatever they prefer. Mm-hmm. And it's, so I use Training Peaks, and Training Peaks has the ability for the athlete to put in a comment so they can say how they felt. They can put in a comment, and they can also do a smiley face of how they felt. So it's gives me feedback within Training Peaks. So I can see the comment if it's just something simple, like felt good, felt bad, but then based on that comment, if there's any follow-up I need, then I can text them and say, you know, talk to them and ask, you know, more questions if I need to ask, just based on it. Because it's, I feel like with coaching, it's a kind of an ebb and flow. It's not just a black and white straight line. And where I may create a plan that's a couple weeks out, that could change several times. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, I'll look at weather and I'll be like, weather looks really bad. Some people don't want to train indoors at all, so I'm rearranging based on that. Sometimes people have things come up, so I'm rearranging, and I need to be able to rearrange things to make sense.
Okay.
So it's not just, you know, it's not just deleting or, so there's a lot of just different variables. So there's so much more into it that I just don't feel like a computer. You know, you look at just a program you can buy, just I want to do a 5K, so I'm going to just follow this plan I got on the internet for a 5K. Everybody's different. So even if it's a beginner, intermediate, or advanced, they may have three different levels. I still feel like there's a lot more that goes into it rather than just beginner, intermediate, and advanced.
Sure. So that sort of begs the question. So far, we've been talking about like these tools and how they relate to the end user, but what tools would be helpful if they were incorporated by, say, Training Peaks or WKO that would be helpful as a coach? Like, what would be nice to be able to offboard so that you don't have to get so into the weeds with the data? Some of that was interpreted for you and you could focus more on the experience of coaching.
Well, I think that they're starting to do that. Training Peaks is now putting in, I think it's just with certain users, they're putting in weather and okay. They're putting in Garmin data such as HRV, sleep, weight, all the metrics. So if you have a Garmin, and so these are a couple of the nuances with the different apps, depending on which wearable you use, whether it be a Garmin or an Apple Watch. Like Apple Watch yet is not really as advanced with training as Garmin is in putting data into Training Peaks. And so having those metrics such all in front of me gives me a lot of information, which makes it easier rather than me saying, how did you sleep? And you know, what is your, you know, all these things, they may not even know what their HRV is, but if Garmin gets that data, puts it in Training Peaks, I can see all of the metrics. Mm. And that gives me even more information beyond the PMC charts that Shane was talking about with the CTL and all of those, because I see those, but those charts are just based on the training, not on the, you know, actual person's outside of training, their sleep and stress.
Right. Gotcha. And Shane, for you, what would be useful? Because like, it sounds like Joy, you're enjoying the data that comes with it. So you can do your own analysis rather than having an analysis sort of given to you that's interpolated or interpreted, whatever the word is, by the machine.
Right. And I've been doing this a long time. So I am a little bit more on the old school side of it's just, that's what I do. You know, that's what I'm mm-hmm. used to doing. I'm not, yeah. Well, like I said, I do like technology and I'm not against it, but at the same time, there is some aspects of the coaching that I just, that's what I do. And that's what I'm used to doing.
Right. I understand.
Yeah. It's kind of like that art versus science argument, where sometimes coaching is more art and sometimes coaching is more science, but usually it's a mixture of the two from day to day and then from athlete to athlete. But yeah, in terms of like that question, I've been using WKO for God, probably 10 years now. So I've always had a really strong automation, I guess, pathway. Same thing with, emails or text messages or using Discord or really trying to use technology wherever I can to either improve the ability for me to scale as the business owner. Because the problem with owning a coaching business is you can only scale so much, right? So having technology to automate and having technology to make your job easier and faster allows you to scale, which allows you to work with more athletes. So I think that's really good. And then the other thing too is, Joy had mentioned, the whole communication aspect is really, really critical. And Training Peaks is a great way to do that, where you can create these post-activity comments that Joy mentioned. But most folks right now, I would say, are really keen on Zoom, just because everybody is on Zoom 8 hours a day anyway. Yeah. So I use applications like Calendly. Like Calendly is a great example, where Calendly isn't necessarily AI, but it prevents me from going back and forth 100 times to say, oh, what about 2:30? Nah, I can actually do 3 o'clock. Oh, I can't do 3 o'clock. I need to do 4 o'clock now. Like that conversation, right? All those like really small things add up to a lot of time suck at the end. Yeah. So I'm a huge proponent for technology for that aspect of things. And that's also why, like, I guess this is going to be a little bit me like old man yelling at clouds moment, but like, I hope technology culls the herd of coaches. The industry is so saturated, and a lot of the coaches, this is going to sound really bad, but a lot of the coaches I've worked with and known shouldn't be really coaching, because they don't either have the experience or they don't have the certification or the knowledge to be a coach. Like, I'm a level one coach, and that took 5 years of training and practice to do that. It wasn't like I just like took an online test and then became a coach overnight. So again, like this is me like yelling at the clouds like an old man, but I do think technology is going to be helpful for the better coaches, because it's going to cull the herd. It's going to increase the amount of athletes that need a coach and want to be coached for those athletes and those coaches.
Sure.
Now, one thing I do have to go on just a minute, but one thing I wanted to say about the technology is that I do think for those athletes that will not use a coach for whatever reason, they can't afford a coach, they don't want a coach, whatever it may be, but they're self-coaching. I do talk to a lot of people that just, that's the route they are choosing. But yet kind of maybe have a question or two, and I give them advice on using an application like Training Peaks and how to understand it. I think for some, maybe even let's just say more educated athletes that understand the data, the more data may help someone who's self-coaching might be nice, because there is still a large population of people that are not going to have a coach. And they still want to have good training and be able to hit their goals. So I think in those cases, having some of these progressions will be great for them. So they can just pay a little extra for an app and get a lot of information that will help them succeed.
Yeah, I really like that perspective, and that's definitely the camp that I fall into, which is it's just not feasible to pay for a coach, or, you know, whether it's the time or the money or I'm cheap or whatever. And also, I'm like, cycling is my hobby. I love watching videos and listen to podcasts, and I have my own podcast, and I like to learn, and now what has just made it just stupid easy for me is that I get my workouts fed to me, and as long as I'm giving honest feedback, and it's hard. Like, I'm talking to a computer and I'm letting my ego get in the way at the end, and I'm like falling over my handlebars, about to fall off the bike, and I want to hit the easier moderate button so bad, but it was really hard. So I've got to hit this hard button.
Well, and I'm sorry to interrupt. I do have to go, Ken, but I think for some people that understand the data and want to learn more about the data, they don't necessarily want to be a coach, but they like learning about all of those metrics. And, you know, someone like yourself that knows what the CTL is and understands these things and likes learning, you know, that's a great thing for you to have. So you can take all of that, coach yourself and be successful and still be able to, you know, be a dad, be a husband, you know, work and all these other things.
Yeah. Pay the power bill.
Right.
Yeah. Joy, I know you do have to go. Thanks so much for joining us. And Shane and I are going to carry on here for a little bit. And we'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Bye, all right. Joy. Yep. Thanks. Back to what I was saying, Shane, is that for me, being able to use a tool like Train a Road, which is very affordable by any standards, it's one of the least expensive things related to bikes that I pay for. And then I can afford coaching strategically.
Yeah.
When it can really help me out. So like as a mountain biker, maybe a time or two a year, I want to get with a bike handling coach or go to a clinic on jumping or, meet with a strength training coach or something along those lines.
Right. Yeah. I think I would agree. Like I've seen that a lot too recently with athletes where, you know, they might reach out to me for 3 or 4 or 5 months of coaching to get ready for a very specific event. So, you know, like say the B2 VT is a big event in my area. So I might get an influx of athletes in January for the event that occurs in June. But then after the event, they're like, you know what, I'm just going to go back to riding my bike for fun, or I don't really care about my performance as much. I just want to enjoy life for a minute. So
yeah,
they may supplement coaching those 6 months, but then those 6 months, they might just ride outside, no structure, Zwift, Trainer Road, whatever they want to do for those other 6 months. And then some athletes, they're more, I guess, hardcore, where they might do coaching 12 months a year if their goals are different. But I do think that is something that will benefit everybody, but especially those athletes that are kind of more hobbyists or just really just want to have fun and perform and increase and improve their body, but they don't necessarily need to spend hundreds of dollars a month on a coach for that like really high end, or that last little bit of percent improvement. I think the more applications we have, the better competition gets and the faster these things should develop and improve, I think too.
Yeah, definitely. So the platforms that the only platform that I know of that really uses any sort of what they would call AI or machine learning is Trainer Road, but perhaps Exert and WKO. Like, what are the state of things with their products?
Yeah, I mean, I think Exert is the closest to what we're referring to. I would call it more like adaptive training, because I don't know if it's AI or like it is, I guess, machine learning in a way, but it's not like the thing is intelligent, where like I kind of like Joy was saying, oh, I'm sick today or I didn't sleep, my HRV was off, so it'll automatically change and manipulate everything. There are, I guess, a little bit on the, I would say, dumber side of things, but it's true. Like, the only way that it adapts the training is you put in like easy, moderate, or hard, and then it'll adapt your next workout. Or if you do like a ramp test or FTP test, it'll adapt it to. Exerts a little bit more, I guess, algorithmically based, or the more like model and math based. Mm-hmm. And their whole shtick is like no FTP tests ever again. The problem I've seen is like a lot of these models rely on maximal efforts to get the best accuracy out of them.
Yeah.
So if you don't do max efforts, you just do the workouts, you're going to have a natural decay in your FTP until you get to that next maximal effort. But yeah, I think they're both really useful and a lot of utility. And then obviously Zwift is, I guess, in last place with everything we're talking about here, where they don't really do, they didn't really do much of anything in terms of adaptive training or recommendations or things like that. They have these carousels now with a bunch of activities in the feed, but it's not like they're doing any number crunching in the back end. I did see they released something for, I think it was racing, where they have like a Z FTP and a Z MAP. Have you seen that?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, that's what I wanted to bring up, because like, if what I'm looking at right now on my screen is I'm in Zwift.com in the feed, and what it'll show is there's a now a fitness tab, and you can open it up and it will give you a ZMAP, a ZFTP, and a VO2 max based on recent rides. And this was more for placement in like race categories than anything.
Right.
So I mean, like, that's how some people like to ride their bikes, is like they like to enter these races and they're tired of sandbaggers, you know, or, right, or whatever it is, or cheaters, or, and a lot of it is like accidental cheaters. We had Holden Camo. I'm thinking I'm getting his name right, but he's a data scientist that works for MyWoosh. And he was saying like a huge majority of cheaters just don't even know.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
MyWoosh is interesting. I don't know much about them. I knew a little bit about them when I was at Zwift, but they have a lot of like Saudi backing, right?
Yeah.
Like Saudi
or Emirates something maybe. Like that. Yeah.
So there's a ton of money there, which is really interesting. Mm-hmm. But are they doing like $1 million pool or something?
It's like $300,000 a month in prize purses.
Holy cow, man.
But here's it. Yeah. So, I mean, I don't, it's all right if we get off topic a little bit. What the hell?
Whatever.
I have never tried MyWoosh. I haven't like seen a buzz about it or videos that are showing up in my YouTube feed. So like, it's really curious is like, are they, what are they competing for?
Yeah.
How are they going to monetize that? I mean, I can understand like if I'm a racer and I'm willing to pay big fees to get in, to get a shot at winning the big cash, then, well, that's certainly one business model.
Right.
But I don't know that that's how it's set up, because if they're trying to do either subscriptions or spectatorship, I don't know how you would make money doing that.
Yeah. I'm not sure what their business model is either. And I did some research on them and I couldn't figure it out when I was at Zwift.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also interesting too. You see Zwift is doing a lot of the UCI esports world championships, and they're trying to get into like the Olympics, and they're trying to go that route too. So it's interesting to see like everybody try to clamor for their turf, like what they want to be known for.
Yeah. And I think it's what's interesting is, you know, I work for a tech company. We're in the payments arena, and there's just but so much that you can do. And when I think about all of these different organizations, whether it's Zwift or WKO, which not even a lot of people know about, I find that interesting.
Yeah.
Training Peaks, like there's just so much you can do with product development. If Zwift is going all in on basically being like roads that people can ride on, then they aren't going to have the resources to build out a huge training platform.
Yeah. Zwift is interesting. Obviously, I was there for a long time, and they definitely diverted recently to really focus on hardware. And, you know, I don't know if I necessarily agree with that, because like the software, I think, could still be a lot better than what it is now. And I think diverting funds to hardware is an interesting development and an interesting choice. I understand the business logic, because the business logic basically was buying a trainer is really expensive, so let's make the cost of entry as low as we possibly can. If you make the cost of entry as low as you possibly can, then you get more users to engage with your platform and pay you a subscription fee, which is what the Zwift Hub came to be, obviously. But yeah, I would always love to see just more training centric features on Zwift. I do think that's still their like soft underbelly of the company. And I think that's also why you see these Trainer Roads and these Exerts and these other companies of the world going after that, because that is definitely where they can continue to pull back and make a stake in the game. And yeah, WKO is interesting. Problem with WKO is it's really, really hard to learn it. So you almost have to put in so much of your own time to onboard. It's not like you open up Trainer Road and you're basically riding your bike. It's really intuitive. WKO is like the exact opposite of that.
Okay.
It's just dashboards on top of dashboards. But for somebody that knows what they're looking at, and for, you know, data scientists or more advanced athletes and coaches, that's by far my favorite application to use for sure.
Got it. Well, so it seems that that is an opportunity for WKO is like, if they made it easier to understand what it is, like what's the intersection of all this data that's actionable. And does WKO, do they have a training platform, or is it just...
Well, Training Peaks owns WKO.
Oh, okay.
So Training Peaks is like, I think Training Peaks is going... Training Peaks is also... We're getting way off topic, but that's fine.
It's fun
to talk to you for a little bit. Yeah. Training Peaks is also interesting, where they're changing their business model a little bit too, and they're adding a lot more creature comfort features, like the weather feature that Joey was talking about. They're adding a lot more of those kinds of features, and it's interesting to see they're kind of taking WKO bit by bit and integrating it into Training Peaks.
Okay.
Which I think makes sense, because WKO is such a really powerful software suite, but it doesn't have the UI that Training Peaks has.
Yeah, and I even found that Training Peaks was like a bit overwhelming with all these different charts and shit and this dashboard you've got to customize. It's like, dude, just tell me what I need to do.
Yeah.
And that's like been the huge appeal to me, is like, I don't mind putting in the hard work. And I like listening and understanding at a high level about why I'm being steered in a certain direction. It's kind of like this. I would love to listen to Neil deGrasse Tyson talk about black holes, but I don't want to sit down and do the math and figure it out. You know, like, it's fascinating to me, but I don't need to be the guy with the slide rule.
For sure.
Yeah.
I love Neil deGrasse Tyson. We should get him on this podcast. He'd be awesome.
Oh, man. That would be great.
Whatever his talking fee would be.
Hey, he was a college wrestler, I believe. So
was he? That's interesting.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, yeah, he was awesome.
He was on Joe Rogan like a few months ago. I can't remember, and it was really. Yeah. It's always a really interesting podcast. But he did go into black holes and about the James Webb Telescope and like how that is really like revolutionizing and changing astronomy. It's really, really cool.
Really nah, he said it's all that.
It's really cool.
Yeah. Anyway, back on topic for just a minute. One thing that I see is a shortcoming is that there's no like one tool that kind of does it all. So for instance, like Trainer Road is not yet looking at your outside rides and incorporating that into, you know, if your buddies hammer you on the mountain bike trail, it's not adjusting your program based on that. And I think that's in their pipeline. I think they're calling that like levels V2 or something like that. But I had actually started using their adaptive training last year and stopped because I was doing so much outside riding. I was like, this just doesn't make any sense. I'm doing a Zwift race once a week and I'm going mountain biking with my friends once a week. And I just can't. This training is too hard to do all three of these workouts a week.
For sure. Yeah, I've always found that interesting too, from like a business perspective, where, you know, if you can solve that problem, you basically remove the seasonality of your product. Because we saw that a lot at Zwift, where we would have a mass exodus every, you know, April, and then a mass re-signing in like November. Right. So those like 6 months a year, you're at a much reduced revenue because everybody is outside riding their bikes. There's no reason to use your product those months of the year. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I would agree. And I think Trainer Road has a very similar, very seasonal kind of ebbs and flow business model. Mm-hmm. It's a hard problem to solve, but it's definitely not unsolvable. So I do think eventually they'll both you know, either you get credit for outdoor rides or, you know, Zwift has that like gamification aspect. So why can't you earn XP and earn drops for your rides outdoors or make progress towards challenges for outdoor rides? Those things like that, I think, make a lot of sense.
Yeah. Well, I've seen somebody running their like Zwift app paired to their power meter on their handlebars. Riding around town, you know, it's like, hey, that's one way of, you know, getting your XP points.
You get about 1 hour of battery life running Zwift on your phone, but it's all good.
Yeah. It's pretty funny. And I think that like, there's always a rainy day. There's always a day where it's too hot or too cold, or you only have a half an hour, you know, something, the trails are closed. I could definitely, for me, I couldn't imagine not having a year-round membership to that. But what's super frustrating is that Trainer Road, the interface is just boring.
Yes.
And Zwift is engaging, and I'm running both at the same time. And then I'm having to go in and delete one out of Strava, and that's a whole nother story. So like either one, an integration would be awesome, or like just the some kind of combination of both tools, the best of both worlds.
Yeah, like a bundling or something, an acquisition. I mean, there's been so many rumors of acquisition for Trainer Road the last 2 years, right? Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
I definitely think there's a want for that. And I think for the type of cyclists we are, where we're a little bit more training and performance centric, there's a lot of crossover there, and I think that makes total sense. Yeah. I think with Zwift, there's such a huge, like, huge swath of athletes that they've captured in their platform, where they might not be. There might be a racing subset, and then a training subset, and then like a Tour Watopia subset, like a, I guess, Fondo or like Unlocking. There's so many like things there's so many people that use Zwift, and there's only one person that uses Trainer Road, more or less, who's like really training centric, performance centric.
Yeah. And I agree with that. And so there's been the Zwift Training Peaks integration for a long time, except Training Peaks doesn't have any sort of like pre-built adaptive training sort of feature. Like,
no. Yeah. And Training Peaks integration also could be better, where like you can sync your workouts, but like your FTP doesn't sync across, or there's so many things that the API could, I think, do better that they just haven't done quite yet.
Yeah.
But again, like getting a, like as a coach, that integration was really pivotal for me, because I was able to get athletes doing structured work at a much less painful way to do it, instead of having to load it into your head unit and then do it indoors, having Zwift as like a distraction. Just loading it directly into Zwift was really beneficial for that reason.
Sure.
I can't remember what I was going to say about that. But anyway, I think too, now we're that shortcoming. It's another big shortcoming, which I haven't seen anybody really impact. And I think it's coming with this continuous glucose monitoring becoming more mainstream and more accessible. It's just like nutrition, just like general nutrition. Nobody really does it. Like, I think we have the strain pretty well understood, I think, but recovery, hydration, nutrition, all those other things that an athlete does 23 hours a day, there isn't really anybody that does it really well yet. And I do think, whether you want to call it AI or machine learning or whatever, I do think that is a definite gap that could be filled with this technology. Is that?
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that there's that. And I remember listening to this a couple weeks ago, Peter Attia video, where he actually is like pricking his finger and checking his blood lactate to make sure that he's staying at like whatever zone two. And like, nobody wants to do that or pay $400 for the device or pay $200 a month for a continuous glucose monitor. But I mean, I'd wear it on my watch for $10-15 a month. And
right.
and just incorporate all of that into just one like life dashboard. And it seems like that's sort of the direction that Apple's trying to go.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yep. And same thing, like Joy mentioned HRV. So like, you know, HRV is good as long as the data you're getting is accurate. Like we did this on Never Going Pro, I think it was 3 years ago, where we kind of took a deep dive on HRV, and a lot of the data is just kind of garbage because it's a risk-based monitor. So you're kind of getting garbage data out and you're putting garbage data into the models, which is, I think, why a lot of people have like, oh, I'm on a green day today, but I feel like complete dog shit, right? Mm-hmm. Probably because the model or the data probably isn't great. And really like HRV, especially, you need like almost an ECG level of accuracy to get accurate HRV. And nobody's hooked up to an ECG when they're sleeping, unless you're in the hospital with a heart attack or something, which isn't really funny. I'm laughing.
Right.
At that.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
like, you know what I mean? Nobody's actually
you're
doing
just,
that with base stuff.
You want to get, you know, you'll be happy to get into a wheelchair and out of the hospital bed and not back on your bike. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'd love to see that eventually with all these, like all this technology, all this like competition, all the stuff we've spoken about. The application who can nail everything, I think they're going to be the ones who are really going to revolutionize the sport. And that's really, again, going back to that question too, like, am I worried about, you know, technology and AI? No, because again, nobody can do what I just said. Like nobody can take the entire athlete and make sense of it and then produce the best training plan or the best workout for that day for the athlete with all these things put together. And, you know, some people, I guess there is definitely like going back to the old AOL, AIM chatbot, right? Like we have no problem having some conversations with a computer or with a anonymous person, but I think most athletes I really connect with, we don't talk about like, you know, what'd you do for your workout today? We really talk about like how your kid's doing, or like you really get to know the athlete and really get to know the individual human, not necessarily this athlete has a 350 watt FTP and they're only 120 pounds or something, right? Like
yeah,
those metrics are cool, but really making a connection to the human is really what I think separates the wheat from the chaff in terms of coaches, at least in my opinion.
Well said. I mean, that was so well said. I think that we can just end this podcast right
wow. here. That's it.
No, I mean, I agree with you that, you know, my wife, she's a personal trainer and she's as much of a therapist as she is anything else.
Yeah. We're like the barbers of the cycling world, I guess. Right.
Yeah. Tell me all your problems. I definitely agree with that.
But again, that's also like the more you can connect with your athlete, the more I've been able to also like get out of them too, which that kind of sounds like I'm manipulating them, but I'm not. I'm really just like the more you trust a human being, the more you trust a person, the more you're going to believe in their approach, believe in their process. And you should see a net increase and a net positive increase in performance as a result of that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yep. It makes total sense. Cool.
Hey, do you want to do a Never Going Pro podcast soon?
Sure.
Or should we just like merge everything into this one podcast?
I don't know. It depends on whether we have to count on Gorney or not.
We create like a mega cast. There's like seven people all at the same time trying to talk over each other.
Yeah, that would work out great. Or just like an AI version of Chris Gorney that shows up on time.
Well, the version would be late. He would have mic issues. He would have Delta headphones, terrible audio quality, a kid in the background pulling his curtains down.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Cool. Well, Shane, it's been a real pleasure today. Everybody, come back again and check us out again soon for another interesting topic. I hope you have enjoyed this topic, AI and cycling coaching, and what the input we've had from two professional coaches, Shane and Joy, have had to say. And right on. Thanks again, Shane.
Thanks again.
Yep.